What is going on, guys? Welcome back to Creeps in the Crypt. As always, I am your host, Eric, and I am joined by...
very tired Christian and another tired Sam.
This will be our second episode we're recording
tonight. Long time no talk.
Yeah. Sam's back feeling good with us.
I'm about 90%.
So...
ish.
Before we get into anything...
do you have any crypt keeping?
Yeah, I'm going to just say thank you all for coming along the Summer of Slaughter journey with us again this year. Make sure your auto downloads are on because we've noticed a drop, but the streams are still where they're supposed to be. So I'm assuming the downloads aren't happening. So if you guys could please download the episodes and turn your auto downloads on if you're on Apple Music, that would be great. I would highly appreciate that. That way we can see what episodes you guys like the best so we can keep doing them. That being said, guys, we're on to our second subject of Summer of Slaughter for this year.
We're going with it. You guys are like banger after banger this week.
Yeah. This whole season's like chocked full of good ones.
I wish we had time to make a field trip for one of the ones coming up.
Well, you know, that kind of brings me into the opener to this. True crime tourism is on the rise. There's places that book like Airbnbs out of haunted locations or locations where there's terrible murders happen.
See, like, I want to buy haunted stuff, and then you're like, nah, baby, we're not going to do that. What if I just, like,
collect? I don't want a haunted Airbnb being run out of my house.
We'll just go to an Airbnb.
But what if eventually you want to have a haunted Airbnb? Don't you need the stuff?
One of us would have to be murdered in the house for that to work.
No, you could have the haunted stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be a museum.
Okay.
The whole.
But I gotta do like start doing the collecting.
That's not how that works. It's like, hey, this family was murdered brutally and all their skin was flayed off and they were hung from the rafters of the house. And yeah, you'd need that and be like, come stay here.
Oh, and then I also threw in some haunted little clown dolls.
Oh, fuck you. Get out of here. So that brings us to who we're talking about today. Probably one of the most infamous serial killers,
if not the most infamous.
Of the Gilded Age of serial killers, as I will call it. So, basically...
not the Golden Age, the Gilded Age?
Well, the Golden Age was, like, your Bundys, your Rodney Acalas. Late, earlier than that. So, like, 60s to 80s.
Yeah,
I would say it died off lead around...
paint era.
I would say it died off around the 90s. Dahmer was probably the last good one. The Golden Age.
Wasn't the Golden State Killer caught in the early 2000s?
Mm-hmm. But that was way after he committed any of his, like, crimes. He got caught through, like, DNA testing.
He was a cop.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm pretty sure it was the Golden State.
Yeah, it was one of them. But anyway, today we're talking about... H.H. Holmes. He's a serial killer that really knew how to make a business out of murder, as we'll come to find out. Mm. So, Sam, without further ado, take it away.
H.H. Holmes is considered to be America's first serial killer.
Which we will come to find out that's not actually true, but...
we'll go with it.
We'll go with it.
What was it then? Who was it?
I believe it might have been Lavina Fisher.
That's first female.
She predates him.
Well,
really?
Yeah.
Is he the first
male? By how long?
Like,
we'll get into later.
Yeah.
So he also makes a little cameo on American Horror Story Hotel. I believe it's fitting, Hotel.
Because he did a lot of his murders in a would-be motel.
Right, but the hotel was modeled after the Cecil. So.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Same concept.
He was dubbed a, quote, modern Bluebeard by William Randolph Hearst, who wrote the New York World.
Which we'll have to cover Gil DeRay. Or Gilles DeRay. Who was basically the archetype for Bluebeard.
Cool. Yeah. He is an American Jack the Ripper, if you will.
Or maybe the actual Jack the Ripper.
We won't know. Jack the Ripper was in England. He never went to England.
Or maybe he did.
Harmon Webster Mudgett, a.k.a. Dr. Henry Howard Holmes, a.k.a. H.H. Holmes, is said to have killed as many as 200 people, but would only confess to about 28 of them. He was one of the most prolific serial killers of the late 19th century. Harmon was born in Gilmanton, New Hampshire, on May 16, 1861, to Levi Horton Mudgett and Theodate Page Price. They were both descendants from English settlers. Harmon was one of five children. Levi was a farmer who would double as a trader and a house painter. At a very young age, Harmon was said to have had a very high IQ and excelled in school. But he was bullied by his classmates pretty frequently. There were signs of what would come to what was to come later in Herman's life, though. He would perform surgery on animals, and he displayed cruelty towards other smaller children. There are some who are convinced that he is responsible for the death of one of his friends.
Yeah, basically, there was an accident. They were going swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid died, and he didn't seem too busted up about it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. But the fact that he was performing surgeries on smaller animals, like, he knew from a very young age he wanted to be in the medical field type of thing. Yeah.
He's driven.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
By the age of 16, Harmon had graduated high school and had taken a teaching job in Gilmanton and then another later on in Alton. On July 4th, 1878, he married a woman named Clara Levering. She was the daughter of an affluent family who Harmon would later convince to help pay for his education. 2 years later, in 1880, Clara would give him a son named Robert. And whenever Clara got pregnant, that's when their relationship shifted.
Yeah, because
he was mean as shit to her.
He's a sociopath and a psychopath. So he looks at that child as a burden and an inconvenience. So, which makes her an inconvenience.
Yep. So Harmon is like 16, maybe 17 when he gets married.
Which in that time period
was normal.
You were a fucking man at that point.
Yeah. In 1879, at the age of 18, he enrolled in the University of Vermont in Burlington, but left the following year. 2 years later, in 1882, he enrolled in the University of Michigan's Department of Medicine and Surgery, either to get away from his family or because of the school's cutting-edge emphasis on human dissection. Source material varies.
So this is coming out at the time of, like, medical advancement upon medical advancement, and mm-hmm. how a lot of these doctors would, like, figure out how the human body worked was they'd get cadavers and then experiment mm-hmm. on them and, you know, basically mm-hmm. what people do now when they donate their body to science.
Mm-hmm.
It's that type of thing.
Did you know, fun fact, when you, like, if you donated your body to science, whenever they were done with whatever they were doing, they send your remains back to your family with no fucking warning.
Huh.
So I get you back.
You would in get me back. Whatever I kind of state he is in. Like,
it's definitely not going to be an open casket.
No, he's going to... Did you watch True Blood?
I did.
How far did you get?
I finished it.
Season okay. One. Talbot.
Don't judge. No judgment.
You come back as Talbot. Russell Edgington's boyfriend. Husband, yeah, well, whatever.
I was thinking looking more like Gollum back. From Lord of the Rings, but... Okay.
You come back in whatever pieces and parts and gizzards and innards that they don't use.
Well, I mean, as long as your penis comes highly, back, I'm good. You're highly decomposed. A lot of these places to like go to body farms. I know they have one in Tennessee, but they like
fuck you Tennessee.
If you live in Tennessee, I love you. Sam has a grudge against Tennessee. I don't know why.
Only the volunteers.
Okay. I see. It's sports ball.
Football. College football, to be exact.
I don't watch college football.
I love college football.
But anyway, that's what's going on here. And a lot of the times in these medical schools, people just dig up fresh cadavers and then sell them to these medical schools.
Grave robbing.
Yeah, there's a lot of grave robbing going on at this point in time in history.
Yeah. So according to his classmate, okay, so Herman would graduate in June of 1884 from Michigan's Department of Medicine and Surgery. According to his classmates, Herman was quiet and serious and a somber kind of guy. He wasn't very talkative, and though he was a little bit strange, everyone thought he was pretty harmless. Little did they know.
Yeah, that's always how that goes with serial killers.
While in medical school, he worked under the chief anatomy instructor and even worked under Dr. Nahum White, a noted advocate of human dissection in New Hampshire. And it was there that Herman discovered his passion for dissecting cadavers. Around that same time, he began a life of various frauds and scams. He stole corpses, both intact and in pieces and parts, and then burned or disfigured them, and then planted the bodies to make it seem like they had been in some sort of horrible accident. And he would also take out life insurance policies on these people and collected the money once the bodies were found.
Yeah, because back then there was no Social Security.
No.
There wasn't any, like, fingerprint science or anything. They just had to take you at your word.
Yeah. So he was also into stealing and selling the skeletons and cadavers and is thought to have used these bodies for his little experiments as well.
He's really like a modern, like the actual Frankenstein.
I was literally just thinking that got in my head. During his last year of medical school, Herman was sued for, quote, breach of promise, which back then was quite a serious crime. A woman accused him of proposing to her, consummating their relationship, only for her to find out that he was already married. Because he's still married to Clara.
What a hound dog.
And
he's got that dog in him.
And if the charges were proved to be true, that would have meant that Herman wouldn't be able to graduate from medical school. It was that serious of a crime.
Oh, shit.
So when the case became public, many who knew Herman came to his rescue in ways and successfully defended him against the expulsion against the school board. Once he graduated, he turned to one of his professors, Professor Herdman, that came to his aid during that whole investigation and trial and whatnot, and told him that the woman was telling the truth.
Shit.
Professor Herdman later wrote, quote, "It was the first positive evidence I had received up until that time that that fellow was a scoundrel, and I told him so at that time." Later, Professor Herdman finds out that Herman actually tried to break into his house on two separate occasions. Herman's Burlington, Vermont landlady, so this is back when he was living in Vermont, she claimed that she noticed a, quote, "foul stench" in Herman's room coming from a, quote, "dark object under the bed."
Well, if we know anything from the Dahmer episode we covered last summer.
Worse.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Oh.
I forgot about this. I probably should have put a trigger warning at the beginning. So if you don't want to hear...
This whole summer is a trigger warning.
Yeah, but if you don't want to hear what comes next, if you're...
This whole series on all these guys is just...
Yeah.
Because we're doing Albert Fish next, spoiler alert.
But...
Love him.
The landlady grabbed a broom to, like,
you know,
sweep
see
out
what was under there.
It was a dead baby.
Whose dead baby?
He probably dug it up.
Probably.
He was kind of a notorious grave robber.
It was a dead baby.
That's awful.
Anyway, pretty foul.
Like I said, trigger warning. It's too late for another trigger warning, but you know, just saying. I put that out there. So Herman's wife, Clara, and their son, Robert, moved back to New Hampshire before Herman's graduation in 1884 because he was mistreating Clara. So she finally was like, see ya, I'm out, deuces. So after he graduated, Herman moved to Moores Forks, New York, which is right at like the Canada-New York-Vermont border.
That's what I say when I forget to run the dishwasher when there's all the silverware in there. I'm like, I need Moore's Forks.
So it's now an unincorporated town.
Okay.
There, he landed two jobs, one as a doctor and one as a teacher. There are reports of Herman showing his students a severed foot and then later marrying a woman who went missing. I didn't ever elaborate on who she was, where she went, if
we're going to see that as a trend.
Yeah.
Around old H.H. Holmes.
Yeah. So a Civil War veteran comes into Herman's doctor's office that he shared with another doctor named Dr. Steele. And the vet was near death from an old war wound and asked that they perform an autopsy to confirm that he did indeed die from a wound from the war so that his wife could get his military pension. When the vet Herman was all for this, first off. He was like, yes, I will absolutely do it right now.
Wait.
Are you dead yet?
I get to cut to a body.
Right? Like, all right, tingle, tingle. So when the vet passes, Herman successfully located the bullet that had been lodged in this man's chest for 20 years.
Because I'm fairly certain it was a musket ball at that point.
Probably. I don't know.
Civil War. It's old Civil War.
I don't know. They called it a bullet, so.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a musket ball fragment.
So he takes the bullet out, along with some of the man's shattered ribs. And then refused to hand them over to Dr. Steele unless he paid him for them. But
what a piece of shit, dude.
Yeah, so Dr. Steele was like, I already have enough evidence to prove that this man died from a war wound, so you just keep that. And as far as Dr. Steele knows, Herman kept the shattered ribs from this man. Herman and Dr. Steele's last interaction was Herman asking him for money for a train ticket to Chicago. Herman never repaid the debt, but he did leave behind a few things. One being a box of mementos left over from his life up until that point.
Dude, I love mementos when my breath is stinking.
But he left one thing.
I love how Sam like glossed over that.
Yeah, I did.
She's over your jokes right now.
He left something with the name Herman Mudgett on it.
Shit.
Shortly after he moved, a rumor started that he'd been seen with a little boy who later was reported missing. Herman stated that the boy went back to Massachusetts, and no investigation took place, and Herman just peaced out of town. He was like, see you, bye, catch you never. The next place that he would call home would be Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He landed a job as a keeper at Norristown State Hospital, but quit a few days later. Then he found work at a drugstore, but while he was there, a boy died from taking medicine that was purchased at the same drugstore that Herman was working at. And Herman denied any involvement, and again, left town shortly after.
Well, this did happen a lot back then, and still does in the medical, like the pharmacy field. Mistakes happen.
Yeah. So in 1886, Herman married a woman named Murda Belknap. Belknap? Is the K silent? I don't know.
I don't know.
Even though he was still technically married to Clara. So they get married in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they would go on to have a daughter. Or she was from Minneapolis. They didn't get married in Minneapolis. She was from Minneapolis. And then a few weeks into their marriage, Herman filed for divorce from Clara, saying that she cheated on him. But obviously the claims couldn't be proven because it didn't fucking happen. The remaining paperwork shows that she likely never knew of the suit against her and the divorce was never finalized.
Wild.
Wild times back then. Also in 1886.
You could just go to a different town and give a different name. I mean, fuck, we saw that with Carl Panzeram. How many times?
Yes.
So you could literally just pick your stuff up and move to another town and start over.
I know, can't do that nowadays.
No.
Also in 1886, Herman legally changed his name to Henry Howard Holmes, likely to hide from his insurance scams from years back. H.H. Holmes and his family soon moved to Wilmot, Illinois, but he would spend most of his time in Chicago. Once settled in, H.H. Holmes started work at a drugstore called Holton's.
So Chicago at this time had just recovered from the Great Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So it's become like all skyscrapers. It's basically the home of the skyscraper. That's where the first one was built, was Chicago, because the Great Fire literally cleared the land.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing left there. So they built train stations and just basically modernized the entire town. So pretty cool fact. Like, they basically had a blank canvas.
Yeah. It's like a new Sims mode.
The Sims. Jesus.
Once settled in, so H.H. Holmes started working at Holton's Drugstore at the southwest corner of South Wallace Avenue and West 63rd Street in Inglewood. Dr. Edward Holton also happened to have graduated from Michigan and was only a few years older than H.H. Holmes. Dr. Holton was unable to tend to the drugstore due to him having cancer. H.H. Holmes proved himself to be a hardworking employee and eventually bought the place himself from Mrs. Holton when Dr. Holton was on his deathbed, despite him not being able to pay for it all at once. So they like set up a payment plan, essentially. And
well, he told her that he accidentally killed a lady one time, and she's like, everybody's killed somebody at some
who
point.
Who hasn't? Jesus. They set up a payment plan for the drugstore, but each month H.H. Holmes would have some new excuse as to why he didn't have the money to pay that month's payment. Mrs. Holton filed a lawsuit against him, but then conveniently went missing. H.H. Holmes told people that she had moved out to California. She went to go visit California. She loved it, and she's not coming back.
Suspicious.
No one just
once again, people just disappear around this guy.
Yeah, conveniently. Shortly after buying the drugstore in 1887, he purchased the lot of land across from it, where he began construction for a two-story, quote, mixed-use building with apartments on the second floor and storefronts on the first floor, which included a new drugstore.
Yeah, so basically what he did is sold the old drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
But when the guy bought it, it was packed to the brim with all the stuff and fixtures and everything. And the guy went to go get his family, didn't really look at the contract. He goes and gets his family, comes back to the old drugstore, or the drugstore he just bought, and it was gutted. Everything was gone. And then a couple weeks later, Holmes unveils the new drugstore across the street with all the shit that was in it. And that guy was like just a total fuck ass.
So in 1888... H.H. Holmes declined to pay the contractors. So they, of course, sued him, as they should. But the construction continued on the building anyway, which I find weird, but whatever.
Well, I'm sure he would fire and hire contractors.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
During this time, he had hired and fired a multitude of construction teams for two reasons.
My bad. I jumped the gun.
One, so that no one would have a clear idea as to what exactly H.H. Holmes was doing. And two, so he could claim bad workmanship and refuse to pay for services. It was later determined that he never paid one red cent for any of the work that was done for this building.
Absolutely not. Shoot you in the knee. Goodbye, sir. Right?
You're doing this in well, I guess this is before mob. Yeah. Mob shit.
I mean, there's still crime, like.
Yeah, but it's not like
organized, no.
Yeah, no. It's disorganized crime now. So after this two-story building was finished, H.H. Holmes began to do his own renovations to the building, and those renovations included secret passages, false walls, dummy elevator shafts, trap doors, a basement crematorium, and then eventually a third floor with hotel-like rooms to house the World's Fair attendees.
And that is where we'll pick up next episode. Now that he has built his house of horrors.
Ooh, the house of horrors.
So, I mean,
is that where you get the HH from?
Horror House.
Yeah, Holmes. Horror House Holmes.
Jesus.
I cracked myself up.
I know you do.
When did this turn into a horror house?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
I'm shocked he didn't, like, try to run a brothel or some shit.
I know. I'm kind of disappointed.
Like, you would think.
Well, let's get a Ouija board and let's tell him that we're disappointed in him.
No.
Yeah, that's the last ghost I want in my house. Thank you.
That would be so funny to, like, get there on a Ouija board and, like, insult, like, serial killers on what they did wrong. Sam, I would have fun with that. See, look, you're coming there. You're jiving with me. You get it.
Yeah, but if only we could guarantee that I could be like, hey, you dumb fuck.
not in this house. No,
sir. No, I wouldn't do that. But like, if I could guarantee I could talk, it would like verified.
Just gonna shit talk them.
I would 1000% shit talk serial killers.
Yeah. They're gonna haunt the shit out of you.
They're gonna shit talk the serial killers.
Absolutely, I would.
Well, yes. At least we know you're not Gacy's or Dahmer's type, or Panzerams for that matter.
No.
But yeah, we will pick this up next week with the continuation of the story of H.H. Holmes. We covered the light stuff this week.
We got all the fluffies and niceties out of the way.
Yeah, it's going to get real fucking dark
and twisty.
If the dead baby under a bed wasn't dark enough, it's going to get a lot more fucked up. Yeah,
that's kind of fucked up.
But this is a little bit shorter episode. But we'll make up for it next week. We jammed out two tonight, so. But we love you guys, and we will see you next Friday.
Stay spooky.
Stay creepy.
Stay safe.